Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 12, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time in the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar, heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news to Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information at our ministry hub. Where's that? Prophecyhour.com. Remember, folks, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube, some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. Places like Helsinki, Finland, Budapest, Hungary, Vienna, Australia, of course, cities in the United States such as Indianapolis, Indiana, Newark, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, and this week, Newark, New Jersey is the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later tonight. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now, prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I ask you to bless this program tonight and give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, the Inspector General report finally came out Monday, and then they talked with the Inspector General yesterday in the Senate. A lot of things to debate about that, but I was trying to think of who to have on to talk about that in short order that I knew would be well frank about it. And so guess what? That's right. We're going to talk about this with Frank Stephan. He has his own radio program, which is called The Frank Report. It's on American Voice Radio, and of course, Frank is also the founder of American Voice Radio, and he's also the producer, you know, the guy behind the scenes that does all the ups and downs and all the things for this radio program. So, welcome, Frank. Are you there with me, of course?
I am, Dan.
Hello?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, well, it was quick. Anyway, I'm glad to have you on, Really, the Inspector General report we've been waiting for what, a couple of years, it seems like?
Yeah, it seems like it. You know, it really does seem, I've read part of the actual thing, I've read a bunch of commentary on the actual thing, but honestly, it just, I don't trust Horowitz at all, to tell you the truth.
Okay, then really, that's right where you went to first. Who is this guy, Horace? Is he a left? I mean, who appointed him? Who is this guy? You know anything about him?
Well, he's the Inspector General of the Department of Justice, okay? And I don't really know how he got appointed or how he got done. I think the IG is a permanent position, okay? I'm pretty sure about that. Not permanent, like forever, but, I mean, you can be removed and replaced and all that, but I believe that anyway. So I think that's his thing, and I think every agency has an Inspector General, and basically they're supposed to come in and, you know, if they smell something bad, they're supposed to start digging around and seeing what's that stink.
Right. And one thing, a couple of facts about him, in a sense, is that what hit me the most is that, you know, this guy that can't subpoena people or whatever, and while, and it, this goes to the issue of bias. You know, he was talking about that he didn't see any political bias, which to me and a lot of others just looked like, wow, that was just real plain that it was. But if it's, he is true to what his words say, he says that he can only base it off the information he's given. In other words, he can't interview counter witnesses, so to speak. So if a guy says, he says to him, he says, was you biased? And he says, no, I wasn't biased. This is why I did it. Then he takes that at face value. To me, that's a very dangerous concept. Back to you.
Well, it is, and you know, but the thing is, we got to understand this is why civics class was so important, but it's no longer, there is no longer a civics class. Call your high school and ask them, hey, when's civics class? They don't have one, okay? Nobody knows. But in our government, every department or agency has an IG, an inspector general. Well, he does his report. That's not the final say. He is the inspector general of the Department of Justice. Well, the attorney general is in charge of the Department of Justice. He's the last word. Everybody in the Department of Justice submits, eventually, the reports to him. He decides the conclusions, okay?
Right.
And that's what Horowitz is trying to say in a clumsy way, is that, look, I'm just putting down what the testimony was. You know, I say, hey, Dan,
right. It
looks to me you did this, didn't you? Yeah, I did that. And you go, okay. I said, Dan, why'd you do that? Oh, well, I did this because of this, that, and the other thing. Oh, okay. Well, you're telling me there's no bias, and this is exactly what you just said. This is what Horowitz is doing. He's just saying, okay. And we can say, yeah, that is dangerous, but not if we look at the role of Horowitz. You see, the Democrats want us to believe all these things, like Mueller's report and Horowitz's report, all these things are the final word. That's it. There they are. No. It's the attorney general decides. What does this mean? Okay, you can write reports all day long, but somebody at the end of the day has to say, okay, we got all these reports, but what does all this mean? Horowitz's job is not to decide what does all this mean. His job
right.
is just to say, here's what it is. Now, and Barr has already said, oh, BS, there was certainly bias. Because I am the AG, and I am deciding what this is, okay?
Right, and so is, and for the record, so has Durham, and they, and like a lot of commentaries that are at least halfway legitimate, so to speak, that aren't biased to one side or the other, even some people that, even heard CNN said that the report was very damaging, but Durham... you know, they turned it into a criminal investigation, and people were saying, well, wait a minute. Judge Napolitano, which is turned totally against Trump, even said that, you know, for him to do that means that somebody's on the chopping block, or they wouldn't have changed it into a criminal investigation. But one of the big takeaways from the IG report was this. In order to get that visa application, and this is probably the most dangerous thing, and I pray to the Father that these people point out and do something about it, and should have been done a long time ago, but they changed the wording to what they sent to to use in the visa court about Carter Page saying that he had never worked for the CIA. Changing that wording was definitely a criminal act. And by doing it, that's what allowed them to keep getting the visa things against the president to be able to go in and charge it. That was dramatic in that, don't you think? Or what do you think about that part of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's very important. You can't just lie in these... look, man, you lie to the court, you're in trouble. You got good... I mean, you got a really good chance, okay? You go into any court, I don't care what court it is. You go in there and you lie to that judge's face, you got a really excellent chance of ending up behind bars.
Yeah, absolutely. So to me, it seems like the FISA court's judges would be angry, but let's go to this. We need to explain to the people what a FISA court is anyway, because most people, I don't even think, know.
It's absolutely an unconstitutional secret court. It's a star chamber is what it really amounts to. This should never exist in American law at all, but it does because they don't care about the Constitution. It is a secret court where everything in there is secret. You don't get to hear any testimony. It's not open to the public. The witnesses are secret. Everything's all secret. And then they just act on it.
And there's no, and which means that in a normal court, you're notified that they're looking at you and that you have a right to defend yourself. You can have an attorney appear with you and so on and so forth. But in FISA court, it's just completely one-sided. And and here's where it really falls and misproves it. They trust what there's being, it's almost like the Inspector General in a sense. They trust what is being put in front of them as being accurate. They supposedly believe the FBI, I guess, is the main person that brings those things, that they're telling the truth because there's nobody to rebuke them.
But you see, the difference between the IG and the FISA court is the FISA court is the last stop, okay? They do have to determine, I know you're telling me this, but we have to see. If there's any indication it may not be true, they need to investigate that. See, the IG is not the last word, okay? He just said, okay, here's the testimony and evidence that I have, gotten, and I put together a report on it, and it goes higher up to the AG. Now the Attorney General decides. But the FISA court is the last stop, and they failed, okay? Every one of those judges, which are also secret, should be jailed. They should be thrown in prison for what they've done here because, you see, have you ever heard this? You knew or you should have known. Have you ever heard that phrase in law?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, they'll put you in jail because you should have known, okay? If you are a FISA court judge, you should have known, okay?
Right.
And you didn't because you didn't do your job, you were negligent, and you should go to prison for that. But we don't even know who they are. I don't anyway. Somebody does.
Yeah, and there's a real point there. So in order for these judges to make any kind of complaint about it, then that's going to bring them out. Let's go with this. We'll throw this in here. This is from Barr, and it's bogus narrative. According to Barr, the greatest danger to our free system is that the incumbent government uses the apparatus of the state both to spy on political opponents, but also to use them in a way that could affect the outcome of an election. That such spying occurred is something of which the Attorney General is utterly convinced. It was clearly spied upon, he said, of the campaign. That's what electronic surveillance is, going through people's emails and wiring people up. I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years, and I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by a completely irresponsible press. Barr complained there was and never has been any evidence of collusion, yet this campaign and the president's administration has been dominated by this investigation, what turns out to be completely baseless. I think there was gross abuses of FISA, he went on to say. Inexplicable behavior that are intolerable in the FBI and the Attorney General's primary responsibility is to protect against the abuse of law enforcement and intelligence apparatus that makes sure that it doesn't. Now, looking at it like this, now it looks like he's pretty angry over this, but who's in the end of this, if all this is true, who do you think's heads would be on the chopping block for this?
Well, there's Eric Holder. There is, no, it wasn't Eric Holder. It was Hillary Clinton.
No, but I wish he was.
Well, Eric Holder's head ought to be chopped off for what he did with Fast and Furious.
Right.
Okay, but Hillary Clinton actually was the head of the State Department during the time this was all going on. Okay,
right.
And, Comey. Okay, Comey and all his little Nazi friends there, all of their heads, obviously the normal, the usual suspects, that we all know about, Strzok and Page and all these others, Steele, all of them, man, they should all go to prison. Okay, every last one of them, with Comey, with his, Nellie Orr and her husband, all of them should go to prison. They were all committing treason, is what they were doing. Okay?
Right.
Nobody wants to say this, but it's true. They were committing treason. So
they were, this was actually, let's just really call it for what it is. It's treason, treasonous, but better word for it, it was a coup to take over the presidency of the United States.
No, a coup is treason.
Right. I'm just saying the other word for people.
Yeah, but you don't hang people for coups, because it's the coup is not a law. Treason is a law. You get hanged for that. And committing a coup is treason. So, why I say that.
Treason.
No, I'm just saying that's why I say that. You're being more descriptive, but I'm just being more legal. Okay?
Okay, well, that's great. Well, then we'll get both sides of it out. But here's a big point. Here's what I think will inevitably happen. I do believe that the Attorney General is angry enough that, because I think he is a legalistic guy, I think he did look at it with, broad eyes, and just wasn't that he's just a Trump guy, so to speak. Okay, and Durham, he's a guy that has went after people that have messed up in government and law enforcement. They used him to go after both sides, and he has did that.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to just mention in there, that, yeah, Durham is not somebody I'd want after me.
Oh, no. No, no, no. What I read about that guy, he is, they call him a bulldog, is what they call him. And, yeah, he even looks it like it, you know what I mean?
He's not gonna. He doesn't tend to tolerate nonsense.
Right, right. And I don't think Barr does either. And but look how far these guys have went. These two guys, Barr and Durham, they went on a trip overseas to Ukraine and to Italy and to Australia and other places. This is going to be a lot broader than what a lot of people think.
You know why they went to Italy?
Well, I vaguely remember, but bring it out.
Well, they went to Italy because that's where Barack Hussein Obama was running the coup from. Because running it from inside the United States was too dangerous. So he was running it in Italy that, at the time, had a very communist, favorable government to him. So that's where they were running it all through, was Italy, and that's where all the information is, and that's why they went there and they got that information, and the minute they got back from Italy is when they began their criminal investigation.
Okay, well, that fills a gap. I read something about that, but, there was political people in several countries, United Kingdom, Australia and Italy and Ukraine. These people, these globalists, if you want to call it that, whatever, these evil people, I'd rather call it that for sure, it was a broad thing worldwide to not allow this guy to be president. I think what we're going to find out, and we can get into that a little deeper in a little bit, but I think the big guy to watch that can tell that something's going to really happen isn't Comey and isn't all those other guys that all, by the way, didn't renew those security things so they couldn't be questioned, but is Brennan. If you look at the man's face when he talks, he looks like he's about to die. I believe, now, of course, we live in an age that they ain't going to go to jail. They don't want to go to jail, so they're going to sing. And we don't know how many people have already started to sing within that lineup of people that you mentioned.
A bunch.
But I believe, right. But I believe the biggest rap's going to be Brennan, and I think he's going to put it all on Obama because he's already started doing it.
Well, it is all on Obama. You see, this is the whole thing, is that people are, you know, we've all, you know, we're all nibbling along the crust is what we've been doing. But it's Obama at the middle of it. He knew exactly what was going on. He was directing what was going on. Okay, this guy, you know, it'll be a great day for me. I will take the day off. I will celebrate if Obama gets arrested and thrown in prison. I really, truly will, because that guy deserves to be in prison. I mean, no, it's not because he's black, okay? It's because of what he's done.
Personally, I don't even register Obama. I register Obama as a fake black man because it's not even because of it that he's half white, but it's because of who he is. He did nothing for the black community while he was there, but did like practically every other Democrat did, and used the black people and think that they are just a note on a board for a vote.
Well,
and that's what I think about him. And that the black people were waking up to that.
Well, they are.
34% of them are pro-Trump.
Yep, they are. And the Democrats got real bad problems with both the black community and the Latino community. Because they've both been used and just taken for granted, I think, comes to mind. That, they're just going to vote Democrat no matter what, so we don't even have to give them anything or anything. You know, they'll just vote for us because they're too darn stupid to vote for anybody else. That's the Democrat idea, and it has been for 50 years. You know, just like LBJ said, which I will not repeat his crude racist remark on the radio, but you can go look it up, what he said about the black community. Yeah, but, you know, this is the thing. They're starting to realize, because Trump actually pointed it out to them. Look, what do you got to lose?
Right.
You get nothing from these people. You never have gotten anything from them. You know, it's time to try something different. I mean, and this goes for everybody about everything. If you're sitting there and you're doing something and it just isn't working, and I'm not saying quit, try again and try again and try again, but after a while, you've got to come to the conclusion somewhere along the line that, wow, this was probably not a good idea. It doesn't seem to be working.
Yeah,
so
hey, we've got to get it.
You've got
to
try.
But I got this producer.
I know, but the thing is,
you've got to
try something else, is my point.
Okay. All right, I agree with you. And you can say that after break, but we're 3 seconds past break time.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only you, only you, only you, Lord, we will trust. Through the storm, keep us warm, till the enemy is crushed. Jesus is our refuge, in Him we must abide, till He opens heaven's gates and brings His bride inside. All our cares that we bear, we must give them all to You. Hold our hand in this land that is crumbling through and through. Jesus is our refuge, in Him we must abide, till He opens heaven's gate and brings His bride inside. I'll not fear all that's here, I will put my faith in You. Even though we must go through the testing, keep us true. Jesus Yes, until he opens heaven's gates and brings his bride inside.
A letter from the Roman Emperor Constantine to the churches at the time of the Nicene Council leaves little doubt that Constantine hated the Jews and anything associated with them. Excerpts from Constantine's letter are as follows. Quote, "When the question arose concerning the most holy day of Easter, it was decreed by common consent to be expedient that this festival should be celebrated on the same day by all in every place. And truly in the first place it seemed to everyone a most unworthy thing that we should follow the customs of the Jews in the celebration. It is fit, therefore, that rejecting the practice of this people, we should perpetuate to all future ages the celebration of this rite in a more legitimate order. It is necessary that this fault should be so amended that we may have nothing in common with the usage of these parricides and murderers of our Lord. It should be considered that any dissension in a business of such importance and in a religious institution of so great solemnity would be highly criminal." End quote. While it is true that the Jews, with their many uprisings, had challenged the patience of the Roman Empire, Constantine, in his efforts to substitute the pagan festival of Easter in place of Passover, failed to recognize that the original members of the Christian faith, which he claimed to subscribe to, were in fact Jews who kept the commandments of God and who accepted the Messiah, Jesus Christ. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to the Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Now, usually we talk about the Mission Church, but I'm going to move on because I'm talking with Frank Stephan about the IG report and some things related to it. And we'll talk about the Mission Church in a little bit. And by the way, folks, we're glad to be back from Thanksgiving. Anyway, Frank, I know you're still there, so let's talk. When we left off, I was pointing out about Brennan. And that looking at his face, you could tell that this guy, I think the guy really knows he's in trouble. But I think he'll end up being the biggest rat to turn on Obama, because after all, he already has been throwing Obama under the bus. I've caught a couple of his speeches over the last few months, and there's been more than once that he said, well, we didn't do anything that Obama didn't tell us to do. Back to you.
Well, absolutely. That's what he said. You know, I read that, too, and I was like, oh, you know, when I read that, that's what I thought was, ooh, Barack's in trouble.
Right, right. And go with this. You know, he was so disappointed. He acted like he was heartbroken that Barr would not go along with what the inspector general said. You know what I'm saying, with the saying that, well, there was no political bias or anything. They wanted that to be a done deal, the Inspector General report. But even with it being that, people, you need to read this report. Now, I haven't had a chance to read all of it, like Frank. It's like, what, almost 500 pages. But the point is, you know, I've seen enough of the commentaries and things that have been experted out of it, that it is entirely damaging. Did you happen to catch what Lindsey Graham at one point, the first of it was great, his lead in to the whole report thing that was in the Senate yesterday was great, but there was another time that he got a talk, and he laid it out point by point what happened in all of it, and it he really does cover it. Back to you.
Well, yeah, and then Lindsey Graham's getting a lot of heat right now because he says he's not calling any witnesses or anything like that during the impeachment hearing. And, you know, we often, and me too, I tend to do it. I try not to. I try to step back and think, well, now, wait a minute. Because we got to look at this. What Lindsey Graham is saying really is that, okay, this is an impeachment hearing. Okay, this is going to be an impeachment trial in the Senate. This is not an investigation of other things, okay? And we don't need any witnesses, okay?
Right.
They haven't come up, okay, look, here's the big deal. And every single time I try to do this, every time I talk about the impeachment inquiry, you know, I hear this in my head, so I figured,
right.
So I figured I'd help you all with what I hear in my head when I read or see impeachment inquiry stuff. There we go. It's the impeachment inquiry. Brought to you by Idiots,
yeah.
Incorporated.
Yeah, I can see. What cartoon characters does that go with? I, it seems like I could relate it to Bugs Bunny or somebody. And that is,
oh, it's you know what I call it? I called it to a friend. I said, yeah, this is the Wile E. Coyote impeachment proceeding.
Yeah.
Because those of you that watch Roadrunner, you know Wile E. Coyote, everything he does always blows up in his face.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, let's go. Okay, now I'm laughing. All right, but I really want, it goes back to this. They are banking these people that are trying the so-called impeachment. It really is amazing how it's all lies and there's no facts, nothing that banks any of the things. In fact, the two things that they brought up aren't even in the Constitution or whatever. But what they're banking on is the news media to put that out to the people, to get an outrage from the people, to sway. And that's what it's all about, because it's all bogus. There is nothing there to convict the president on anything. And that's what they want to do. That's what Mitch McConnell says. He doesn't want to dismiss this. And that's what a lot of people don't get. They say, well, if there's nothing there, just dismiss it. No. He wants to bring it in and let it proceed to trial in the sense that, and yeah, they don't need to call witnesses, but they want to acquit the president.
Right.
Acquit and dismiss is two different things.
That's
true. Can you elaborate?
Well, yeah. I mean, I get what they're doing. And what they're doing, okay, look, this whole impeachment thing is purely 100% political. Okay?
Right.
And now Mitch McConnell is playing along and making it political on his end. Because lawfully, when the Senate receives these impeachment articles, they should look at it seriously and say, okay, obstruction of Congress. All right, let's go look in the U.S. Code. No, there's nothing. Okay, let's go look for abuse of power in Title 18, you know, somewhere where, you know, the law is.
Right.
Mm-hmm, still nothing. Well, okay, out the door it goes, because you haven't charged the man with any treason, any bribery, no high crimes, or any crimes at all. These are not crimes. Sorry. That's like saying we're impeaching. We have two articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. He wore a yellow shirt on Tuesday, and he wore a blue shirt on Monday. Well, I'm sorry. That's not against the law. It's not a high crime or a misdemeanor. It's not bribery, and it's not treason. Those are the things that you can impeach a president for. Not non-crimes. We don't like the guy. Okay?
Right.
And by law, McConnell should throw these articles in the garbage. No trial. No nothing. Because then, what if you got a letter in the mail tomorrow saying, Dan, you need to show up at court on tomorrow at whatever time because you're being charged with, well, you might as well be charged with wearing that yellow shirt on Tuesday.
Right.
Well,
right.
You can't ignore these things, right? Because when they tell you got to be at court, if you don't, they'll come and arrest you, whether you're guilty or not. So Dan shows up at court. What do you think the judge is going to do when he sees, okay, prosecutor, what's the charges? Well, this man was wearing a yellow shirt on Tuesday. Okay, where can I find that law? Well, there's really not a law, but I just don't like seeing yellow shirts on Tuesday, so I figured I'd charge him with a crime. What do you think that judge is going to do?
He's going to throw it out.
Yeah, that's what he should do. He's not going to have a trial and say, oh, okay, you're innocent. No, he's not going to legitimize what they've done. But Mitch McConnell is going to, because he is a political creature just like the demons are. We don't just have a demon problem in Washington, D.C. The Republicans are only a tiny little fraction of a fraction of an inch better than the Democrats, okay?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. A large percentage of them are right. We do have some newer guys in there.
Well, apparently there's a couple of decent Democrats, too.
Well, and I was going to, and I want to say that, too. I don't throw out all of the Democrats. Why call them demon rats and leftists and all that thing? And I'm going to say this right now. If there's Democrats listening and that's what your political affiliation is, you've lost your party.
Well, yeah.
I know there were some older people out there that the Democrats, I mean, it's one thing to, look, I like the fact that there's at least two parties. Otherwise, things get too one-sided.
Oh,
that's
boy.
The point. And they did used to, well, okay, the election, you get mad at election, whatever, but afterwards it was over with. And they just waited for another 4 years and then ran again and so on and so forth. But they accepted the outcomes. This is different. This is whole totally different. The people, their party has been overtaken. I don't know how or what.
Well, here's the real danger I see, Dan, is that, okay, so this is clear, the Democrats, and that is how I refer to them, that's your leadership, okay? That's not your,
right.
It's just like Jews, when I say the Jews are this and that. You know, I'm talking about the bankers and the guys in charge. I'm not talking about the guy down the street just trying to get by like you are. You know, I'm talking about the people in charge always, the ones ruling us all, you know?
Right.
But now, here's the danger that I see, Dan. They have not accepted the election. So the
right.
next time the Democrats win, I'm not going to accept them. I'm telling you that right now. I am not going to ever accept a Democrat again as a legitimate politician. They do not represent me. They are illegitimate, and I will not abide by them. And why?
Right.
Because, okay, if this is how you want it, this is how you'll have it. See,
right.
just backing down and trying to kiss their butts and let's get along and be nice is over, as far as I'm concerned. And people can say, and I get this a lot, well, you say you're a Christian, but how can you have that kind of attitude? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you ought to go look at Revelation or Daniel or Isaiah. Maybe you ought to go look at some of these places and see. Oh, wait, was that God whacking us real good? Yeah, it is. You know why? Because he's mad. He's really, really angry.
Right.
You know, I mean, when we say, well, we're Christian, what does that mean? It means we're supposed to be Christ-like, right?
Well,
right. Jesus was Christ, and Jesus is God. So if you
right.
look in the Bible and God gets angry at evil and things, and then he doesn't just get angry, he does something about it, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to sit back and go, well, that's fine for God, but, you know, I'm a Christian. Oh, well, pardon me? What?
Right.
What?
Right.
What?
Well, it's like this. If you want to know, you're supposed to know your Father. You know, you're supposed to know God. You're supposed to know the Father. A lot of people don't read the Old Testament, so they don't really have an, you know, they say, my God wouldn't kill anybody, really? Well, go read the Old Testament. And
how about everybody?
How angry he is over sin. But let's go with this. I want to throw this in, I don't know, yeah, we've got some time left, but what I want to throw in is the fact that came out, and it came out from Graham, and I was very happy to see him say that. He knew about the bogus what do they call that report? I can't think of it, that they based everything on. Now, you know what I'm talking about.
But at what time? You know, now or in the past? Or
in the past, what they originally started with. You know.
Oh, that dossier.
The dossier.
Oh,
okay.
That, yeah.
He came out straight out and said how he had, McCain showed him that dossier before it was ever released.
Yep.
And he admitted to that, and he had two ideas. He said either the Russians really do have something on Trump, or this is a bogus piece of garbage. He didn't really know which. Now, I know that he changed, and he got more vocal, and after McCain died, I'm not going to address all that. But the point was, is McCain, without him, that dossier might not even have came into existence, into the right hands to cause this. So McCain, John McCain, the so-called war hero, which is really a war criminal, actually was responsible for a lot of this. Back to you.
Well, that's a fact. And, you know, John McCain, and you know, again, you know, a lot of people are going to be, oh, my gosh, but John McCain should have been hanged the minute he got off the plane from North Vietnam. Okay? He was a traitor. He made recordings that I have, one of them that I play on the air, where he got on worldwide shortwave radio and repeatedly claimed that we were committing war crimes, the North Vietnamese are just great people, and he's so sorry, and we're so wrong, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
right.
I'm sorry, but you know what? You're not allowed to do that. You know?
Right, and McCain also, every effort that was made to further look for more POWs and so on and so forth and bring it, he would get mad and angry and stomp his foot, and there was tons of legislation over the years that was stopped because McCain said we didn't need to do it and didn't do it, and so we abandoned people over there because of McCain, because if those things would have been done, then McCain was afraid of being exposed.
Yep, because, you know, those other POWs knew all about him. They knew how he betrayed every last one of them. Okay? Now,
right.
Folks, if that's not enough for you to hear the recording of John McCain, okay, siding with the North Vietnamese, just like Jane Fonda did, okay, except, the only difference between Jane Fonda, well, gee, why is what she did not treason? Because she didn't take any oath, okay? John McCain
right.
did, and he violated it and committed treason. He gave aid and comfort to our enemy with those recordings. That is
right.
treason.
Right.
But if that's not enough for you folks, then go online and look up the POW/MIA hearings in the Senate where John McCain was making the widows of these men break down in tears. He was such an a-hole.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, absolutely. And so this man was no war hero, and because, you know, Trump pointed out, he said, I like the guys that don't get caught or whatever, and he just didn't want to go into detail, but he knew, and that's why John McCain had a bias against him, you know, let alone that he wanted presidency and John couldn't. But anyway,
Trump knew about McCain. Okay,
sure.
Trump's a billionaire who's been doing big business for a long time. He's donated tens of millions of dollars to these politicians. That means he gets access to them. That means
right.
he gets to talk to them.
Right.
That means he gets to know things we don't get to know. And, you know, because he paid for it. And the thing is, that's the American way. He knew all
right.
about John McCain.
Right.
And that's why
right.
he didn't like him. Because John McCain...
Right.
was a vile man. And you know what? The rest of his family is just as vile as he was. His drug addict wife stealing drugs from her own cherry? Please,
yes.
Come on.
Okay.
What a class act.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do a whole program about him, but right now I've got just a couple little things I want to add to this, and then I want to talk to the folks, and I want you to be on here because I want to talk to you about what happened over Thanksgiving. But, folks, if you want to know what's going to happen, look, you got to hang on a little bit longer because Durham said, I think it was today or yesterday, that it's going to be, a lot of people think that Durham's thing's going to come out, you know, real quick. He said it's going to be spring or early summer. That's his deadline that he's looking at. So we'll be out before the election. But you got to give these guys time because we're really building a case. They're taking the time to do it. And I do believe some heads will roll. If not, if people aren't locked up over this, I don't know. I'd say I'd move to another country, but, you know, we still have, so far, the best place to be at, anyway that I can afford. All right.
Now, I believe what we should do is what the Bible says to do, and that's stand.
Yeah. Amen. I agree. All right. Well, folks, okay, we haven't been back on the air since Thanksgiving, and we had a pretty good Thanksgiving, but I will tell you of an incident that happened because you brought up something with your truck. And I believe this was miraculous, or is miraculous. Over Thanksgiving, right, we've got all these people in it, and we stay over there, and so the it clicks off, you know what I mean? It runs through a cycle, you put it on 69 degrees, and then when it gets 69, it clicks off, right? Okay, but then when the temperature drops back to 69 or 68 or 67, then it clicks back on to bring it back up to 68, 69, right? Well, I noticed on Thanksgiving, here it is, the temperature, and it didn't happen until evening, and it started getting kind of misty out. The temperature gets like down to 60, and I don't know if I was using 69, just using that as a guess, but it went down like 2 or 3 points, and it should have been kicking on, and it wasn't doing it. And so I caught me and my buddy that hangs out there with me, and well, he doesn't hang out. He works with us. He's in the Miss Church. He's part of Messiah's Branch. Craig. So Craig and I go up on the roof and start checking all these things and mess with wires and everything. And finally we put an old computer board back on it. And when we did, it clicked back on. We thought, oh, okay, problem solved. It was the new board that we had bought last year that had went out. Well, naturally, about 3 a.m, after Craig's gone and I'm sleeping in there with my wife, I notice it's getting chilly again. So I go up and I look at it, and what? Same thing. It's going back down. And so, okay, finally it clicked back on after about 4 hours, just when it was getting almost too cold to get up out of bed, and it clicked back on. So this was, okay, an intermittent problem. So I called, and it never happened long enough to not allow us to be in the building, but long enough that it got cold, right? So the day after Thanksgiving, I call this one electric guy up, and he can't come out till Monday, and the heater's doing it off and on. And he comes out, and he checks it, and I can't find anything wrong with it. It's running just perfectly fine. Okay, so I call. I didn't know what to do at this point. This guy's not going to come back out unless the problem happens, so he can check it when the problem's happening. But the problem's not happening again. So then somebody else, my sister, called around and found an agency to come, or not an agency, repent, a heating company to come out and check it. And he goes over it entirely, and he can't find anything wrong with it. I went up on the building with him, and everything should work. There's nothing that doesn't work. There was a combustion fan that was running all the time, but that was nothing. It's just a little switch. It was a separate problem than what we're talking about. So, inevitably, the switch gets changed. They do it for free as a donation, which it's always cost. Folks, if you call heating people, these guys, $200-$300 just to come out there. I mean, it doesn't, that's easy. I haven't ever paid a bill under $350 for a heating guy to come out. And it's always money we don't have, of course. But anyway, it ends up being that, the problem never came back, but this guy now is on our rolls that any time that there's a heating problem or air conditioning problem, guess what? I can call him, he'll come out and check it for free. So that was miraculous. Amen. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, well, I'm just checking because you're awful flat.
Well, I turned my mic down so you didn't have to hear any background noise over here.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. But anyway, so yeah, that was miraculous. But yeah, we did have a pretty good Thanksgiving, and there was a lot of people that came forward. Just, it's always right at the last minute, Frank, that we got the donations that we needed to take care of things. And even there's this guy that now works for an agency, and I will say agency. I just don't want to point it out because I really don't know how to take this donation. But he brings, they have food that they, it's not dead all the way, not gone all the way in the place that he works now as a cook. And he used to come in and get egg sandwiches. He was on the street. Well, he's now bringing me stuff that they're getting ready to get rid of from their place. And it's been a huge amount of food. In fact, this guy showed up. We've got some extra turkeys and we're going to have another turkey meal because we got an extra 12 turkeys because of this gentleman. And it looks like he's going to start bringing his stuff every week. And so we got that. And then also, we live in a bug-infested neighborhood. And guess what? We now have a company that is volunteering to come out now and do our bug maintenance for us so I don't have to. So things look like they are turning better for us. I just pray that keeps up because you know how it goes. Usually November, December, people get real generous. And then when January comes, it goes like somebody turns off the spigot. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I haven't. That doesn't seem to affect me other than, you know, summers are slow and the rest of the year is pretty much the same. But that's really all I ever noticed. But I'm not, I don't get a lot of donations. I get some, and I really appreciate them, by the way, for those of you out there that do that. I gotta thank you. You know, and some people don't feel like, yeah, big deal, I sent you $5, $20, whatever, you know. Yeah, well, it means a lot over this way. You know, it might not mean as much to you, but it's really
actually,
helpful here.
You're wrong. Let me say what I've got about a couple of minutes. Let me say this about radio. What you do in your station is so highly important. You go out there and you look at the news media. Most of the news media is controlled by, ends up, if you go backwards, it's all owned by the Rothschilds because they own the people that own the people. That, anyway, the point is that talk radio is one of the few places that you can get the best shot at getting the truth. Without you, Frank, and without even us, but without you and your station, and others that are like you, which there's not a lot of independent people, are doing one of the most patriotic jobs that there is. People should be donating thousands of dollars to you a month so that you can do it and do better so you don't have to worry about things breaking down because you are so highly important.
Well, Dan, I really appreciate that, but you're embarrassing me, and I just want to point out that, look, if I got thousands of dollars a month in donations, I wouldn't just be able to repair things. We could expand. Because, listen, to get on things like XM radio and stuff like that costs money. You don't get on
right.
there for free. Just like getting on the Internet, just like getting on satellite. You know, Dan says all the time, well, it's not free. Well, it's not free to me either. Okay? You know, I have to pay for it. So that's why the hosts have to pay for it, is because I'm not getting it for free. But if I was getting all this money coming in, I could expand. We could get on to new things, even shortwave radio. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on shortwave, but I would have a presence because, you know, there's people
right.
there. But, you know, the thing is, you know, that all costs.
Right, right. Okay, well, Frank, we really got to go. We're over time, but I'd like to do a program about talk radio. We'll do it. Thanks for being on with me, but I got to go.
Well, you know where I am, Dan.
Okay, folks, remember, you can donate online, over the phone, whatever. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. But remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights from the heart of the earth. Through him and only through him is the word of the Father. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and he's gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Till an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street,
Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time to the Messiah's Branch.
Unemployment insurance running out. Jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to keep or keep a roof over their head. Too many can't. Messiah's Branch, a mission church in Wichita, Kansas, helps.